Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 13 this morning. Luke chapter 13 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 this morning. And as our custom is, when we read together, I'll read aloud and you'll read along silently. That's Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. As you're finding your place, if you're able this morning, would you please stand to your feet and honor the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for our pastor who comes faithfully and preaches to us. God, use him today to help us. We need to hear from heaven today. And Father, we'll hear from it from the Word of God as the man of God preaches the Word of God. So, Lord, help us to be receptive to what you have in this message today for us here in this room and in the internet land. God, please bless. Anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. And Father, one last thing. If there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle it today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, there we go. Good. Listen very carefully, please, now that the mic is on. Up to that point, you didn't have to listen to anything. That's perfect. But please now listen very carefully. I want to talk to you about that word repentance this morning. It's in the first message Jesus preached. He talked about repentance. He does it again here in Luke 13. John the Baptist's first message had repentance in it. Peter's first message in Acts had repentance in it. The Apostle Paul preached about it a great deal. The repentance in the Bible. Now look at me this morning. Jesus said, except ye repent. And he wasn't just talking to this crowd, he was talking to this crowd this morning. Except ye repent, ye shall also likewise perish. That means suffer great loss. What exactly is repentance? Now listen very carefully this morning. Repentance in the Bible means to change the way you think. It means literally a turning in our thinking that results in a change in our direction. Repentance is a changing in the way you think, a turning in the way we think, so then the result will be a change of direction in our life. Now, if you put works or changing your life with repentance, then you're going to put works with things God never intended. What he's talked about in the Bible is often it'll mention bring forth works. Works meet for repentance. He's talking about if you really repented, your works would show that. You can't change your mind without changing your life. We'll follow that. It will. On a stormy night, one night, a pastor was standing by a bridge with a huge sign that said, repent or perish. The wind was blowing. The rain was pounding down. It had been coming for some hours, and he stood there with this big sign by the bridge that said, repent or perish. People drove by and honked at him and laughed at him and said, you crazy preacher, what's the matter with you out there in a storm like that? After a few minutes, he stepped inside the little house he lived by with his wife there by the bridge. And she said, how's it going? He goes, not very good. Maybe I should just put on here, turn around, the bridge is out. Repent. It means to change the way you think. There needs to be a turning up here that will result in a turning here. I change my mind, I change the way I think about something, and I turn. So Jesus said, unless we repent, we'll also likewise perish. Let's understand this about repentance this morning. It is given us by God. I want you to listen to the verse. I want you to turn to it. We don't have time. I want you just to listen to this verse. 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we think, well, all I have to do somewhere down the road is just change my mind. You have to repent when God draws you to repentance. It's given us by God. If you want to call it a gift, you want to call it whatever you like. See, we got this idea in society today. We just kind of go along, and whenever we're ready, and whenever we think it's time, and when I want to, that's when I'll change my mind. Wrong. You repent when God gives you the ability, the willingness to repent. It's given us by God. Now, I believe God is not willing that any should perish and all should come to repentance. I believe He's working in people's lives to get them to that place. But I also believe this, you're not the God of your soul. When repentance comes to us and there's a need for repentance, we need to come and repent when God directs us to do so. That's why when you read His Word, you listen to the preaching of the Word of God, and you realize, you know what, I wasn't right about this. I need to change something. You better change it when God directs you to do so. We'll show you something why in just a moment. Repentance is given us by God. Repentance is also a matter of you making a decision. And by that I simply mean this. You come to the place you understand that what you were doing is not right. And you decide, I am going to turn and change my mind about this. You say, well, that's pretty simple to do. Is it really? To get people to change their minds today. Well, I've always thought that way. That doesn't make it right. Well, this is the way I think. That doesn't make it right. Now, when God directs us and we realize there's something in our lives, and I'll get more specific in a moment, stay with me, and something in our life is not right, and God directs us, He gives us the opportunity, the ability to repent, then you need to make the decision. You know what? I wasn't right. I was wrong. And I'm going to turn now and change. And that's when repentance takes place. But you got to make that decision. Isn't that difficult? Isn't it hard to do for you to decide to understand that you weren't right about something? We like to justify everything in our lives. We like to acknowledge, oh, well, you know, after all, excuse me, repentance comes out of a decision for me to say, okay, fine, I was wrong, God is right. And number next about repentance, you need to know this. Repentance must be timely. Timely. In the book of Matthew 27 in verse number 3, there was a man who repented of something very bad in his life. His name was Judas. He had betrayed Jesus for the price of a crippled slave, 30 pieces of silver. After he had done so, he felt so badly about what he did. The Bible says in Matthew 27 that he went back to those who had given him that money, the high priests who had given him the money to betray Jesus. He went back to them, took those 30 pieces of silver and cast them at their feet. And the Bible said, and Judas repented himself. He said, well, then he found forgiveness. He went out, he hung himself, and 2,000 years later, he's still in hell. Because he repented too late. Yeah, because he betrayed Jesus. No, he repented too late. It wasn't just the betrayal of Christ that caused him to not be able to find repentance. It was because he did it too late. See, God had been working in Judas's heart and life. Judas, remember, was one of the 12. He went with the disciples everywhere they went. He did everything the disciples did. He saw it all. Matter of fact, Judas was the treasurer of that early New Testament church. He carried that bag of money. He saw Jesus raise people from the dead. He saw him walk on water. He saw him feed multitudes. Judas was one of those guys who held the basket when Jesus broke the loaves and the fishes. And Judas stood there and watched miracles take place in front of him. But all the time in his life, he realized he was not a child of God. And he knew it. And he just kept thinking. I don't know what his thinking was, but I know this. When the day came and he was willing to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and give up the very presence precious Son of God that he had spent 3 years of his life watching and hearing and seeing the perfection of Christ. When Judas took that last step of betrayal, what he did was he crossed the line with God and he crossed the timeline of God's repentance. And he did repent. He said, "I'm sorry, I should have never done this." But it was too late. When I say unto you, you repent when God draws you, you repent when God draws you. You don't set the timeline, God does. Second example of a timely repentance is Esau. The book of Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that Esau, as you know, you remember, Esau was one of twin brothers. And Esau was the firstborn and he had the birthright and the blessing, which is an extra portion of inheritance and a position of spiritual leadership in the family, because Esau, though he and Jacob were twins, Esau was the firstborn of the twins. Esau went out and went hunting one day, and he came back, and Jacob was there like a good little boy cooking soup. Should have been out hunting with his brother. Comes back, and Jacob's cooking soup, and Esau walks into the camp. Now, understand, they're nomadic people, so they live in tents. Their father Jacob and his, their father Isaac was over here in his tent, and Esau had his tent, and Jacob had his tent. It's all right there together. Esau walks in, he is hungry. Oh, you know how men get when they're hungry. They're like bears, they're grouchy, they want something to eat. And Esau's so hungry, and as he passes by, he looks over, and there's Jacob cooking some soup. And he stops and he says, "Give me some of that soup. I'm hungry. I'm about to die." Jacob says, give me a birthright. Give me your inheritance. Give me your future. Give me everything you've got coming to you. The double inheritance of the father. Give me everything you have for that bowl of soup." And Esau said, "I'm going to die anyway. Look at me. His tent is right over here. Like any good hunter, he's got venison in there. He's got something going. Jerky. He's got something. All he's got to do is walk a few more feet and get a bite to eat." But nope. In the moment of his passion, in the moment of his hunger, in the moment of his selfishness, he gives away his birthright. He says, "I'm going to die anyhow. Just give me that bowl of soup. You can have it." And he takes a bowl of soup. Did you know the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 that Esau, later on after he ate that bowl of soup, he thought, "What did I just do? I just gave away my inheritance." And Hebrews 12:17 says this, "And he sought it carefully and repented and couldn't find it because he crossed the timeline with God." Look at me this morning. We live in a world today where everybody thinks they're their own little God. And they're going to do what they do and change their mind and change their life when they feel like it. You look at me. You repent when God directs you. There's a timeliness to repentance. And so when God draws it, maybe this morning you'll be sitting here and listen to the message, and God will direct you that there's some things that need to change in your life. Now look at me. You can get up and go home today and go on about your life and decide you'll change when you feel like it. I got news for you this morning. God has decided where the line will be drawn, and you must repent when God draws you to that repentance. So there is this morning the repentance for salvation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now listen this morning. There's a little bit of a statement in that 2 Peter 3:9 that you need to get. And that's this. Repentance comes before perishing. Repentance comes before salvation. In order for a person to be saved, they must come to repentance first. Then they come to salvation. And repentance is, I'm headed this way. Some of you this morning, you need to repent of the salvation of works. A religious salvation. You've been taught that something that you do, how you live your life, what you do or what you don't do is where your salvation is. You need to repent of that this morning, because salvation is a gift. It is a gift paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to purchase that gift of salvation for you. And for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is salvation without works, and that's the only salvation that there is. And all across our nation, all across this earth today, there are religions out there today telling people what they must do to have their eternal life, their home in heaven, their place with God. And they're telling them it's some degree or form or type of works that are necessary. No, my friend, there needs to be a repentance today from works for salvation, religious salvation, and trust Jesus Christ to be saved. There also needs to be a repentance from what I call philosophical salvation. That's a person who says, well, I'm just kind of spiritual and I have things in my own way. You need to repent of that this morning. You need to come to Jesus Christ and come in His way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Your way will take you through life, but it will not take you to heaven. You must come to God through Christ or you do not come. And we need to repent of philosophical salvation. We need to repent of, I got my own way of salvation. We need to repent of my religious salvation. Whatever it is this morning, my friend, salvation comes when we repent and turn to Christ and accept Him as our personal Savior. You know, the change of your life will come after salvation, but it will not come until salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. It's a wonderful thing. And you know something this morning? I remember talking with people and traveling a bit in the world and giving the gospel to folks. I remember talking with a man one day, and as I was explaining to him what salvation was, he said, but that goes against my religion. And I said, I'm not here to be against your religion. I'm trying to tell you this is what the Bible says. He says, but to do that, I would have to forsake all of my people. And I would have to forsake all of my religion. And I would have to forsake all that I have been taught. He was a Muslim young man on an airplane. And he said, for me to do that, I would have to give up everything I've been taught since I was a child. I said, I realize what a huge decision that is. I said, I respect your loyalty to what your heritage has taught you. I said, but sir, there is a reason you and I are sitting next to each other on this airplane. And the reason is this: you need to repent and turn to Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior. And I said it as kindly as I could, with as much compassion as I could muster in my voice. I wanted him to understand that. I remember another time witnessing someone on an airplane, and I was going through the plan of salvation. This person was very obstinate about this whole thing. Well, I don't think I said, yes, sir, it is. And you must understand this. And I was trying to explain it to him. I'm going through the gospel. Right behind me was a dear black lady sitting behind me, and she was amening me. She said, yep, there it is. Uh-huh. That's right. Go ahead on. That's good. Almost felt like taking an offering when she got done. I mean, it was unbelievable. She was in on it. I mean, she was helping me back there, you know. And afterwards, I got ready to plane landed. I get up, and the person did not trust Christ, unfortunately. I encouraged them to do so and that kind of thing. And I stood up. I said, hey, thanks for entering in. I appreciate you helping me out. She goes, I was with you. I was with you all the way now. You're doing good. You're doing good. I said, no, ma'am, the gospel's good. Can I ask you a question this morning? Look at me. Take a look at the salvation testimony you have this morning. Was there repentance in that? Did you, look here, did you come to the place where you realized you were wrong, there was sin, and you turned to Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your Savior on simple principle in terms of faith in Christ alone? Is that how you understand salvation this morning? Because that's Bible salvation. But without that, my friend, no, you don't repent yourself. No, Judas repented himself, but he never found repentance. You know why? Because he repented himself on his terms, not God's. Oh, I still remember witnessing to a little sweet polyester grandma. I mean, she could have been a skinny version of Aunt B. Seriously, sweet little grandma. Talking to her about her salvation, I said, ma'am, could I explain to you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? She said, oh, please do. And I went to the plan of salvation, and I started with the first point, which is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Aunt B pulled up and stopped the truck. She said, wait a minute. Are you telling me I'm a sinner? I said, well, no, ma'am. The Bible's telling you you're a sinner. Like here where it says, all have sinned. See, that's you. And that's me. And that's all of us. Oh, she goes, I'm not a sinner. I never hurt anybody. I never did anything bad. What are you saying about me? I said, no, ma'am, I'm not saying anything. The Bible's saying all have sinned. And of course, she said, but you're saying that. I said, yes, ma'am, I am saying what the Bible says. Yes, ma'am. And you are a sinner. She goes, well, that's insulting. I never robbed a bank. I never stole anything. I said, well, ma'am, please, you do understand any sin to God is a sin. Have you ever told a lie? She goes, I think that's a personal question. I said, that's a way to say no while you say yes. Is that what that is? Did you know, look at me, did you know I didn't get to lead Aunt B to Christ? Because Aunt B couldn't get over that first thing of we're sinners. See, there, the point, salvation, there are points of repentance through salvation where you have to come to a place and say, I was wrong, God is right. I'm a sinner, Jesus is the Savior. There is that thing up here that takes place of repentance that then results in me turning to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Repentance for salvation. There's also in the Bible repentance from sin. After salvation, repentance is necessary to know victory over sin in our lives. Remember the seven churches of the Revelation, Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Seven good churches, seven churches. And how the Lord had something to say to all seven churches. Five of them, he had something negative to say. Two of them, he did not. Did you know if you look at them today, when you go home in Revelation 2 and 3, you'll find of the five churches, gospel preaching, Bible believing, Jesus honoring churches, of the five churches, he had something negative to say. All five of them, he said, you got to repent. He's talking to Christians now. He's talking to a church. He's telling a church they needed to repent. He's telling the church they need to change the way they're thinking. He's telling the church that change of mind where you realize you're wrong and I'm right will result in you turning and doing the things now you're supposed to do. Hey, Christian, look at me this morning. A child of God doesn't need to repent to be saved. You did that. That's how you got saved. But as a child of God, don't you ever forget that there's still things that need to change. When was the last time you repented of anything? You read your Bible and God pointed something out to you and you realized there was something you were doing that was wrong that needed to be made right or something right that you needed to do that you weren't. What is it this morning? Have you repented of anything lately? You know, the Bible tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Did you know growth in the child of God's life is going from one stage to the next stage? It's a growth pattern just like a child grows from childhood to adulthood, like a plant grows from seed to fruition. Like that, it's a changing process. Have you changed about anything lately? I mean for the good. I mean for God. I mean something in your life that you used to do and you turn and say, well, I'm just the way I am and that's the way I do things. No, 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 my friend. No, 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 that's wrong. There should still be repentance in the life of the child of God. When I realize something's not right in my life, I need to turn just as quickly and just as easily as possible. Don't you like that when you see people with their children and the child starts to tag off and they go, hey, stop. And that kid just whoop and turns on a dime and turns around and comes back. Have you ever seen a kid do that? Oh, just kidding. Isn't it though? What does it show you? It shows you a child's respect for the authority of their parents and a parent's responsibility to take care of training them so they'll do what they're supposed to do. You know something, ladies and gentlemen? We are God's children. And when he calls us to repentance, we don't need to get this thing in our mind of, well, you know what? I'm saved, so I'm going to heaven. Excuse me. There's a lot of changing that needs to go on after salvation, and repentance is a key to that. Of the five, those seven churches in the Revelation, only one of them exists in a primitive form today because the other, none of them were the five that were told to repent because they wouldn't. They just went on and did what they did. Hey, don't go to church, sit here and listen and go, you know, I need to do something about that and then get up and go home and change nothing. There's repentance from sin in our lives still. And lastly, there's repentance for sanctification. Did you know it's necessary to be repentive in our lives so God can use us? God called Moses to lead the children of Israel. And Moses said, well, of course, I'm highly qualified. I have my own jet. I mean, no, wait a minute. He said, of course I am. I'm highly qualified. I can do what I of course I am. And if you check Moses' testimony out in the book of Acts, he was trained in the tongue and the learning of the Egyptians. He was trained to speak like an Egyptian leader. He was trained in Pharaoh's palace. This young man, Moses, was a very highly qualified young man to lead the children of Israel. God just took him out in the desert for 40 years of dunology to teach him out there in the desert, for that period of time in Moses' life to take care of sheep, to teach him how God could use him. And when he met the God at the burning bush and God said, I want you to lead my children, what did Moses say? I can't do that. I'm slow of speech, and I don't know what to say. God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get your brother Aaron. He's a big mouth. He can come. You tell him. Well, that's in the Hebrew. You can tell him what to say, and then he'll speak for you. And Moses said, well, I'm not sure I could even tell Aaron about it, and he's doing the whiny thing. And God said, hey, didn't I make your mouth? I can use you. Moses actually, literally, Moses had to repent so he could be usable in God's program. I believe, look at it this morning, I believe all across this auditorium are Christians who are sitting on their spiritual gift or gifts. And you have what this church and the cause of Christ needs, and you're not using it for the cause of Christ because you think you're not capable. Well, I couldn't teach a Sunday school class. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. It's interesting, isn't it? Then there are those people who think, well, I remember when I was a layman in church in Chico, and I was sitting out in the auditorium on a Sunday, and I looked up and I noticed the choir was singing. And it was all women and one guy. And I thought, that doesn't look right. There ought to be two guys up there. So I went to Pastor after the service. I said, Pastor, can I sing in the choir? He said, Brother Johnson, do you know how to sing? I said, can I sing in the choir? He says, can you read music? I said, can I sing in the choir? He says, you don't know what you're doing, do you? I said, no, sir, I don't. I said, Bud Boys is up there singing, and I think I ought to stand next to him so there'll be two guys in the choir. I said, is that okay? He goes, yeah, go stand by Brother Bud. He'll show you what to do. That just made sense to me. People, look at me. See, here's the thing. We think repentance from sin, and yeah, that's right. How about repentance so God can get a hold of you? Some of you folks, you would actually, your Christian life would change if you just go to church a few more times a week. Seriously. That kind of repentance, where you go, come back an hour earlier than 11 o'clock and go to 10 o'clock and go to Sunday school and get some instruction under your belt. That didn't go over too good. This is working, right? Test 1, 2. Like I'm just trying something out here. You see what I'm saying? And then you begin to get a little instruction and training, and it kind of brings you along. Then you start realizing, you know, there's stuff that needs to get done around here. And thank God for the faithful laborers and workers of this church who do just what they do. But I guarantee you, we could always use a few more. But we got this idea somehow or another that we treat church like Costco. You walk in, you get what you want, and you walk out. Got news for you. There needs to be some repentance about our sanctification. Turning and saying, you know what, I receive here, I need to give, because it is more blessed to give. You don't even want to say it, do you? Because you know where I'm going. I said more blessed to give than to receive. Yes, it is. See, that's a repentance thing too, because it starts up here. I first started going to church. I thought, well, I really like this church. I like the pastor. I like the people. I noticed when I walk in the foyer, people would just kind of walk around and stand there. New folks look around. They didn't know where they were going. I thought, well, I could tell them where they're going. 37 years later, I'm still telling people where to go. But anyway, that's a whole other subject. So I just started going out in the foyer and meeting people. Say, hi, you're a guest today. Hey, great. Can I show you where the Sunday school classes are? And I just walk them back to their class. Now, I didn't ask the pastor, you need to check before you just start giving yourself a job. But I just wanted to do something. I just thought, yeah, you should ought to do something. Then the choir thing came up. Then I saw buses pulling out of the parking lot, and I thought, I could drive a bus. Went to ask who's the guy in charge of buses, and he told me. I went over, got the physical, took my driving test, drove a bus. It was great. Bus number 2. We had a ball in that bus. Speed bumps. Oh, yeah. That became a whole thing on the bus. We get the speed bumps. I roll the front tire over the speed bump. Stop. I go, speed bump! And all the kids run to the back of the bus. Drop that dude and granny, goose it. Don't do this, start buses. Would you please? Brother Hanky's about to pass out. Don't do this, start buses. We hit that speed bump. Throw them all up in the air. We have kids going off the bus on Sunday morning. Thank you, Mr. Bus Driver. You know, it was great. They want me to find speed bumps. Any speed bumps in this parking lot? They want me to find the speed bumps. I drove a bus. Saw teenagers help, got involved. It just kind of got the idea that somehow or another, I wasn't there just to get, I was there to give. And that requires some repentance in our thinking. See, just like you repent for salvation and you repent from sin, you repent to sanctification. God was trying to get us to turn some things in our lives where we don't just get, we give. Where we're here to do something to help the work and the cause of Christ. You see why repentance is not a popular subject? Look at that. We're messing with Sunday morning Christians who just want to come and get and go home. Say, well, then I'll just go somewhere else. Well, then you'll get one more before you leave, so just hang on a moment. But no, I'm glad you're here. If you show up one Sunday a year, you're like one of these Easter lilies. You show up on Easter or poinsettia and you show up at Christmas time. Oh, I'm fine. I'm glad to see you. I'll shake your hand. I'll have to reintroduce myself to you, but okay. But you say, Pastor, I can't do that kind of stuff. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I think I could teach a boys' Sunday school class, but God help me. Yes, you can. Just need some repentance. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. God wants to lead us to repentance. That's why he gets out in front of us and says, now, come on. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment. First of all, there's repentance for salvation. Do you remember a time in your life where you realized by the authority of the Word of God that you were a sinner, and realizing that, knowing you needed Christ and salvation, you turned and accepted him as your Savior? See, I can't remember that in my life. Then, my friend, this morning, this time is for you. Would you let us help you today? Just a moment, the ladies will play on these instruments. We'd invite you to come and let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. So I think I took care of it in my own way. Then we need repentance. Well, that's salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's contrary to my religion. Then you need repentance. See, all of us have had to do that in our lives. Anybody that's saved in this room repented to come to Christ. Could we help you? We'd love to. If you've come this morning to be baptized and we talked to you about baptism, would you come now and prepare for that, please? Our heads bowed and our eyes are closed today. Could we help you this morning? Child of God, when was the last time you repented of anything? See, I repented of a lot of stuff I used to believe. No, I'm not talking about that. Anything you believe that's biblical is still biblical. Nothing's changed. I'm talking about when was the last time by God's direction he tugged on your heartstrings and you turned. Another verse of invitation played in a moment now. When we do that verse, this is yours. Maybe we just need to come and bow a knee at an altar and say, Father, forgive me for not repenting when I should. Now then, this morning, what about repentance for God to use you in your life? He really wants to. Is he directing you to do something? I'm not talking about getting involved in stuff now. I'm talking about getting involved in the work of God. You yield to him this morning. Father, bless this invitation moment in time. Help us today, Lord, please, I pray, to be sensitive to your leading, that you desire to lead us in repentance. May it be so during this moment, realizing it must be timely, on your time frame, not ours. And bless this time of invitation to the salvation of souls and lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name.